Good evening. If my mind don't go blank on the half, even when I get up to pray, that's why I'm scared to get up and pray anymore. All of a sudden. Anyway, I'm rejoicing in the Lord, and that's why I try to encourage. That's what the assembly, that's what the church is for, to gather together to remember the Lord in His own appointed way, and to worship Him and praise Him jointly, and to build each other up in our most holy faith, to weep with those that weep, and to comfort them, and to laugh and joy with those that are joyous. And so we need some encouragement. I don't have to tell you this, Sarah. I mean, this world's gone crazy. And what I've seen in my lifetime, talking to Rosie, I said, boy, when we were young, I mean, you could chastise your children. Now, you, for a number of years, you can't even chastise them. You start chastising them, you go to jail, and they take the kids away from you. Wow, we. What does the Bible say? If you love your child, you'll chastise them. And the Lord chastises ourselves, doesn't he? In the Romans, it tells us this. To keep us straight on the road, right? And so we got God's Word, and that's the most important. Get in it every day and help yourself to get out of the doldrums, if you're in the doldrums, and we all get them on. And God wants you, as my thing is all, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Now, that doesn't say we're going to be having a great day, but it's a good thing to start off the day like that, because we all got problems all the time. We got more valleys than we got mountaintops, because you get a mountaintop, and that's the same thing in the Scripture. Anytime somebody had some great thing, man, old Satan come along, and all of a sudden they had big problems all around them, right? So just enjoy the mountaintops, but just wait. Satan doesn't want you to be up there praising the Lord. He's the one that tries to discourage us. And so let's turn to Philippians to start off with. Here's Philippians, full of joy. And here's Paul in prison. And he's on his last legs, but yet he's really encouraging the people going through there. Let me see what I got here. I'm going to read in 4, but we go back to, let's see, Philippians on the third chapter and the 20th and 21st verse. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to be giving you all familiar verses, but I'm thinking we need to get always reviewing some of those things, because them are the ones that are will stand by us. Who can change our lowly bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working by which He is even able to subdue all things unto Himself. Wow. What was His glorious body? When He raised from the dead, they could recognize Him. The nail prints in His hands, right? And the things. He had the same body, and that's the way I understand the Scriptures. We're going to be recognizable, but we're going to have a body that'll go through these walls without even, in other words, solid stuff isn't, and you're here, there, and everywhere. How it's going to be, I don't know, it's thought or what, but nobody knows. You talk about jets, and you talk about these other space things, 1,500 miles an hour, 2,000 miles an hour. Well, for crying out loud, Jesus was one place, and all of a sudden He was the next place, wasn't He? As Jim was saying, wasn't it, now I can't even think of the guy was having a big evangelistic meeting, see, I told you, they called him down to the desert there to tell this guy was reading Isaiah, and we all know that story, and here that guy says, how can I understand unless somebody teaches me or tells us? And that's what we need to be, helpers to explain things if we know them, and to each other. And what does that happen? He says, wow, now what does it hinder me to be baptized? And like Jim pointed out, everybody in the book of Acts at different situations, as soon as they were saved, they got baptized. But the churches down through the years has kind of said, well, you got to prove yourself whether you're even saved or something. But anyway, but baptism is not for salvation, but it's obedience to the Lord. One of the two things that Lord asks us to do, remember him in his death for him, for us, and to that there. So as Raymond Stifer, of course, I guess he's enjoying, how is he, your dad, enjoying up with your sister? Is he? It's cold up there. Well, he didn't miss it. We got cold down here, right? Yeah, they're colder. Well, I hope he said he was going to take a big jacket with him. Because but anyway, wasn't that a beautiful day on Monday? Louise's church day, the senior citizens, they don't call them senior citizens, they go down for the colored leaves, they go down to Olean, and it was Monday. Wow. You hardly had to put a little jacket on. So when we got in the cars, we took the jackets off. We got down there, and you eat that nice meal at the library there, that old library. And, man, we're walking around in our short sleeves. I mean, but then the next day. So the Lord was good to us at that day, I'll tell you. So anyway, he's always good to us. His thoughts are continually for our good. You look up the word good in the Bible. Man, he's sending an Old Testament to his people there. I'm doing this for your good. And so anyway, here we are. We're going to be like this in Romans 8, 9. It says that we're going to be fashioned in his body like that. And and in 1 Corinthians 15, 49, it tells you that we'll be like instantaneously changed, a twinkling of an eye, and will be instantly changed. So now we need to be, the problem in the churches down through the years is we're always getting in arguments, but I don't know of any in here, but we've had some discussions down through the years, what kind of paint or what kind of carpets or something like this, but churches, that's why you got all the divisions. When I'm working in child evangelism in there years ago can't even think of her name. Jim, well, I worked with Ed Sanders, yeah, but anyway, she was a teacher of teachers. Anyway, she's a Baptist, and I said, you know, I heard a Southern Baptist, and I know Baptist Church is here, so I just thought there was Southern Baptist and Northern Baptist. Well, she was telling me, there's 40-some. What about the assemblies? I don't know how many. I know there's three different types. One of them's a tight where you can't even, and what's the other one? They're closed. We can't even get into it, right? And if it's a tight one, I think it is, if you go there, you got to sit back for 6 months before you can take the Lord's Supper. So anyway, but that's all because of our personalities let me get this other verse I wanted in Philippians and then go to the one I wanted in. There was another one in Philippians I wanted to get here. But here he's in, here the sixth verse of the first chapter says, being confident of this very thing, that he, God, who hath begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Well, isn't that great? He's working on us day by day. What was this other one I wanted to say? But anyway, now let's get to the fourth chapter is where I wanted to go. the fourth chapter, and it's familiar to us. Let's drop down to the fourth verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Who doesn't get anxious? It says, don't worry or don't do this here. Well, something comes along and we worry and we can't even get to sleep, right? But it tells us not to be anxious. And so that's what we need to do. Go to the Lord and to quiet us down. And it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's another thing I want to have tonight, was talking about joy and peace. And that's what I had some songs sung and to revive us. When I gave that one to Tim, gee whiz. Talk about a guy. Anyway. Timothy was a great help Tim says, gee, I was just singing that song, Revive Us Again. Well, I says, well, I was singing that for years every time I went to work. And, you know, I moved over to married Louise there. Well, I had, a half hour to come over to work. So I never put the radio on. You got so many hymns and things. And here's a day I come in off the Meals on Wheels, and I'm singing a Christmas song. You know, humming it. I don't even know. I'm coming in there. I got this here Christmas song. But anyway, I'm rushing Christmas a little bit, I guess. But anyway, here we go. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, the famous verse on the peace in Isaiah is, keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Let's turn to that there verse. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Okay, Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in. In other words, we're trusting in the Lord, and he's going to give us that peace. Now the next verse, trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is everlasting strength. So now let's get another part in here. Isaiah 32. Turn over here, Isaiah 32, and what have I got here? 32:17. This is one Ed Palmer. I got a couple of ones that Ed Palmer always reminded us of. 32:17, isn't it? And the work of righteousness, right living, shall be peace. That'll give you, and a lot of us have a lot of peace, because we try to live the way the Lord has, and you're in the Bible and things like this here, and that's going to help you. And the effect of righteousness is quietness. We do so get some nice quietness in our souls. And assurance forever, right? And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, in a sure dwelling, and in a quiet resting place. Aren't you glad sometimes? It's so good to get those in here that don't take some quiet time with the Lord and open up the Word and pray. You're losing out. I like, what was that old word? Jipping yourself out, right? All these here things that God has asked us to do. You do them, and you get you get many blessings. Peace is one of them. Now, here's another one now. Psalms 85, 6 through 13, and this is another one that Ed used to remind us of. Psalm 85, 6 through 13. Psalms 85, 6 through 13. Here it is. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Now this is the Old Testament, but we can take it for ourselves yet too, right? I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. In other words, we'll listen. I mean, as we read his word, and we're working or doing whatever you're doing, God brings the word back into your mind and things like this here, and he speaks to us peace unto his people and his saints but let them not turn again to folly. He's warning those if they turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him. And that word fear a lot of times can be revere too. It's like the angel come in there, you know, at different times in Revelation in different places, and man, you fall on your face. And that's what a couple times in the Revelation, I pointed out a lot of times, John, he fell on his face, and the angel said, I am like a fellow person like yourself. Get up, you worship God. But when they talked about the Lord, or said something to the Lord, why you fall on your face, that's what you're doing to reverence him. Surely his salvation is near. Okay, now this is the one we want here. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. The truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down. And now this is going to be in the thousand-year reign of Christ, because he's going to rule and reign in righteousness and in, in truth, right? Anything done wrong is going to get immediate attention. It's not going to be put off. And that's another thing that's bugged us all, is here. Somebody says, you know, used to say, and now it'd be several million, they used to say, boy, give me $1 million, I'd be satisfied. Well, I heard it years ago, and that's what it is, and I see it in experience with others I've seen. If you made your $1 million, it was a little pastor on a radio said this years ago, I fail to see a guy that made his $1 million that isn't working 10 times harder to get the $2 million. And we got examples up there, that hotel up in Buffalo that used to be Genesee Street, that guy, I can't even think of his name, he come out of the service and he was making hot dogs or something, wasn't it? And all of a sudden that went good, or hamburgers, and all of a sudden he made a big, huh? No, not McDonald, but this was a guy right from Buffalo here. And I can't remember his name now. But anyway, he ends up multi-million. And he built that hotel up there downtown. And then he started one in Rochester. But he did it with our money. He knowed all the ways of finagling it away and get in it. So anyway, he can't take it with him anyway, right? It's not the money you have, it's the lust of money, because the poorer people, they think about that. We're our own self. It's money in the right hands. Praise the Lord for the people, because they're helping out in the Lord's work. Some of those people send a lot of money into the mission field and stuff. Just like Abraham was a rich man, the richest man around, and the various other ones that were rich there. But them verses I always told you about in, now I can't think, in the latter part of Proverbs says, keep me from vanity and lies, from empty things that don't amount to, and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. And that's been my verse for a number of years. Because if you give me poverty, I'll curse you. You know, I mean, God doesn't want anybody to be dirt poor. I don't even know if there's a Christian. I can't believe there would be a Christian dirt poor. But anyway, this person saying that there, or don't give me riches or I'll forget you. Now, I know of some people that made it good. Come out of the service and they were hard workers and all that, and they made it good. And all of a sudden, someone was coming to the chapel here. All of a sudden, they don't have time for the chapel, right? They don't have time for any church. Well, some of those are got three generations that haven't been in a church. I hate to be in their shoes, because it's our responsibility to bring up our children and nurture and admonition of the Lord, isn't it? Anyway, I always go off on a tangent here. Where am I at here now? So let's go to another verse here. Old Isaiah 64:6 says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. The Bible tells us that our righteousness is filthy rags, but we're clothed with Christ's righteousness. Aren't you glad of that? God sees us through his Son. Wow, I'm glad he clothes us with his righteousness. Let's 2 Corinthians 4 and 3. Now, if we give out the gospel, and you've witnessed to, all of you have witnessed to different people or given out tracts and different things, and maybe you don't see much results of it. But there's been missionaries on the foreign field sometimes for 50 years and never saw one convert. But after they passed away, these natives and stuff come there and there's a great work being done. So whatever you do for the Lord, it's not in vain. And that's the good thing. This is what I always said. Now, what was I talking about here in the 2 Corinthians? Satan blinds the eye. Come on here. Yeah, right. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 through 7. Go ahead. Yeah. See, that's why he's got in our fleshly mind, so that we don't lift up in pride. And we easily can do that. I always told about all these stories. Rich Palmer, you know, he died a few years ago, 90-some years old. Well, he used to be one of my Sunday school teachers when I was a boy. And he says, when he come to church, he'd pass, or during that week, pass the church, you know, where they got this big billboard here. The Right Reverend Doctor Esquire, blah, 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 all these titles on the front and the back. You know what his topic was? Paul. The Apostle Paul that wrote more in the New Testament. And he didn't have any titles, and this guy's going to preach on him. I thought I'd review this too. The Roman road. I don't know if all of you know about the Roman road, but we used to be taught that, how to give out the gospel on the Roman road. And that first starts off with Romans 3:23. Let's turn to that. And if you haven't used that there, that's one of the ways to point somebody to the Lord. Romans 3:23 says, All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. There's no exception, right? Okay. Then 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Our sin earned us death. But, and that's another thing that Ed always reminded us, look at the buts. Boy, I'm glad we got those buts in there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then you used to go to Romans 10, 9 and 10 and 13. Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made of it. We receive him in our heart, and then we confess him. Okay? For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Anything working for the Lord, it's going to be something good. But he mentions many times we do things on our own for certain, all kinds of different things. Even good deeds you can do, but if you want a lot of accolades and puffing yourself up, you're doing it all, it's vanity. It's empty. It's blocked off. God doesn't give you any credit there, right? That's what it says in there. By grace are you saved through faith, and that out of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then like Jim pointed out, some of these here things end up, and you are his workmanship in Christ Jesus unto good works, right? And same thing in Corinthians and stuff like that. It tells you, you go on to serve the Lord, whether it's given a, like he said, a piece of bread to somebody in need. And it don't have to be a Christian. We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourself. God loves that worst of lost sinners right now as much as he does us, no matter how many years have been walking with the Lord. He's no respecter of persons. What does they say? It's real flat right by the foot of the cross. You don't have generals and all of it. What do you think? I mentioned this too up in... Hey, I'm over, right? Oh, I was looking at the clock. Anyway, keeping the word of God and keep rejoicing and keep helping others so that they too can find the Lord, right?